Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Didn't get it. It's okay.
Hey, Nigel. You interrupted me. I was playing my drums.
It was very good.
We were trying to see if our lovely guest tonight could get the intro song. That's our game that we play with everybody.
Are you an 80s person?
She's a baby.
I was born in the 80s.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it. Okay.
I was going to say, she was in the womb.
Okay. Well, mother could have been playing that to you in the womb.
She very
anyway,
well
good
have.
Evening. This is
Nigel.
Nigel and James.
Hello.
It's October 12th, 2022.
And it's just after 6 p.m. in downtown
and
Reading.
And it's 90-something.
Oh, for the love. Let it go, Mother Nature. Let it go.
No. We still got a whole more, like, week and a half of this.
Well, I mean, that's even nothing. She could just give us another wham-booble of cool weather and then take it right back.
No, I don't think it's going
to
be
I lived
down.
Here long enough to know that I have trick-or-treated in the snow, and I have trick-or-treated when it was 109. So you never know what you're going to get. She's a real... No, I won't say it. Don't hit that button. No.
That's right. Trick-or-treating is coming up, and I haven't seen trick-or-treating in the snow
I've done it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So
you have to remember, I'm turning 55 in a few days.
Well,
that's you know, half of 100 times, a little over half, or I was going to say, I can't count. That's over 100 times around the sun. No, actually, it's 55.
So what you're saying is you're more than halfway there.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was kind of in my head is like, that's been a lot of seasons. That's mm-hmm. a lot of sunrise, sunset.
So this is the Nigel and James Show. Did you want to give these away? Are we supposed to give these away?
I don't know. I hope so. I mean, usually
well,
that's the clue that's here. So we have Oktoberfest beer and food and music at Turtle Bay Exploration tickets. We have two of them. It's all ages. October 15th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. I am going to think about this giveaway because these are great tickets. I'm not going to give them away right now at the very beginning of the show because we're going to try to like... Milk it,
okay. Yeah, so first at some one point, to be able to say Oktoberfest in German gets them.
Yeah, Oktoberfest of us. Yeah. Anyway, we'll figure out something right. During a break, and then we'll bring them back. But we are going to give two tickets away, and we might get in trouble for it.
That's fine. We have with us in the studio a professional. Are you a professional at this point? Professional radio personality.
Oh, sure. Oh, sure. Probably.
She's a professional on many levels.
Yep. We have Brandy Green with us.
Hello.
Bernsini Vineyards. In Cottonwood.
Et cetera.
And at the Enjoy Store.
And at the Enjoy Store, yes. Yeah. One of the places you can find me.
So one of the major things that James and I are advocates for is tourism. For the last couple of years, California Adventure District and Joy, we're doing the Shasta County Tourism Committee.
Of course.
And, Explore Shasta County.
Explore Shasta County. We're just trying
California
to get the
Adventure District.
Yep. So this is definitely a county thing. And for as long as I've...
So you guys are pro-local. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, definitely.
I would say just pro.
Just pro.
You don't even have to
nothing
have
else.
Local.
Just pro.
Well, we're just local at this point.
I know, right?
For as long as I've known you, I think I've known you, I don't know how many years now, a long time.
Probably 15-ish years, maybe?
Well, I've been here
12
and okay. a half years, so whatever. But
at the beginning of his coming to Reading.
Yeah, mostly I knew Nigel with a camera in front of his face for a few years.
I still do that once in a while.
And he does that at Enjoy.
Yeah. I set up my studio at Enjoy.
Enjoy is kind of like a black hole downtown. It just sucks you right in.
But for as long as I've known you, you've always been an advocate for our area.
Absolutely.
So are you from here?
Yep.
Were you born and raised?
You were born here?
Yeah.
At Mercy?
Yep.
Oh,
Oh, how sweet.
On a Wednesday in September.
Mm.
Yes.
When it was 116?
Probably. Probably. Yeah, born and raised here, went to school in Shasta Lake City. It was, you know, Central Valley back then and had all kinds of connotations. and I'm like, yeah, born and bred dirt kid, which is what folks from Central Valley call themselves.
Mm-hmm. Dirt kids?
Dirt kids. Yeah, you know, grew up on the lake.
And you know, that I would imagine some could take offense to that, but actually that doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah, if you grow up out there and you are, you know, stained with red clay, yeah. if your feet bottoms are stained, like, it's
a good thing.
We call ourselves that.
Yeah.
But
I like it.
Yeah, born and raised here.
Of worse things.
Sure. And yeah, grandparents were farmers here. Lots of generations have been producing in greater Shasta, Tehama counties.
That's so awesome.
So have you always stayed here, or is there a period when you left?
No, so I boomeranged. I left right after high school, went away to college, studied a couple different things, mostly sciences, and started my careers all over Oregon and California, and then, you know, eventually realized I wanted to go home.
So I've noticed something over the last couple months that some people who are boomerangs don't mm-hmm. like being called boomerangs.
Really?
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Oh, I think it's a nice...
But I think it's kind of cool because it means you came back, right?
And by choice, I think, is the part of it that I had to work hard to come home. My degree field, so environmental science and winemaking, are not necessarily obvious degree fields to find a job in Reading. And so I had to put in some work and some effort to find something here that I could do in those areas. And I don't know if I wear it as a badge of honor, but I think it's important that I chose to be here and that I continue. Some days are easier than others, but I continue to choose to be here.
Yeah. So what would, and congratulations on that, because you're a great asset to the community. Just personally, as a human being, you're an excellent person, but you're, professional prowess is also really cool.
You're just saying that because we're neighbors.
No. Oh, that's true, too. We are neighbors. I forgot about that. No, because I just as soon throw a rock at your house than anything.
Thanks.
What would they rather be called other than a boomerang? Do they have another name?
Well, one of my favorite frame of references is in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where every day, you know, Greyhound buses full of people would show up from the middle of America because they're going to make it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. sure.
And then they don't.
Right, and then they're waiters and waitresses,
and then they're really embarrassed when they go
homeless
back.
And drug addicts.
They're really
you've got choices.
Well, like I said, they're really embarrassed when they go back.
Got you. Okay.
So,
I see.
And many,
yeah.
and many of them can't handle it and actually stay in Hollywood.
See, I mean, as a person, I guess I don't think that way, right? Like, I just like don't give a you know what. So it's like, whatever. You came back. That's not a failure.
And maybe their opinion of that will change as they age. I did turn 41 last week, so I'm having some perspective at this point that you know, there's worse places to be, and I've had this conversation with a lot of girlfriends recently, is that I can affect change here more readily than I can in a larger city, and right. I want to be a change for good wherever I am. Sure, I'd like to have a huge impact if I were in a big city, but I can see the things that I have built and changed in this town in the, I don't know, 15 years I've been back. So that feels good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe that's ego. I don't know, but.
And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of ego. You know,
yeah.
As long as you keep it in check and, you know.
And I sort of managed to keep it in check.
And,
so.
it's a positive ego, right?
Yeah.
Which is a nasty ego.
Yeah, and I've, you know, certainly been able to participate and help create beneficial things for the town.
Sure.
What was one of the first things that you would say that you create? I'm sure you've been a creator all your life, but one of the first things that you created and you said, oh, that had actually had an impact. And you maybe something you weren't expecting.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I have two for you. One that you can still see, and that's the Reading City flag. We commissioned and redid and did a rather large community outreach program to redo the City of Reading flag, and we have a great flag.
Did we have one before?
We did, but it was just the city seal on, like, a field of blue, which is a really standard misstep for city flags because you can't see it. When it's up a flagpole, you can't.
Yeah, you couldn't tell what it was.
No, not at all. And it was great because it's the three Shastas, and that's cool. And it's really great embossed on the top of a letterhead, but it's terrible.
Or a manhole.
There you go. Great on a manhole. Terrible on a sheet of fabric at the top of a flagpole. So,
moving.
Sure.
Or
yeah.
Not, or just hanging.
And so, yeah, that is one that, like, is still visible. Mm-hmm. On a daily basis in town, which feels good.
Was that a plug so that people know that they can come to the Enjoy store and still buy city flags? We still have city
I was
flags.
Hoping you would pick that up. Thank yes. you. Uh-huh. Yeah. They are available at the Enjoy store
and
in downtown Reading.
And you should fly them proudly.
Yep.
We still have some for sale. So.
One hangs off of my front porch.
Yep.
Now you all know where I live.
There's actually a lot of them around. I see them all over the place.
They're great. Mm-hmm. The second thing that maybe a lot of people don't know or remember, but, like, is probably one of my prouder days.
You built City Hall?
I did not. but I did drop a zip line off the roof of the Cascade Theater one day.
Oh, that's right. I remember that, yeah.
And you could – this was for the
and
Banff Mountain Sound Festival.
Oh, my gosh. Because I was afraid I was going to die.
It was pretty fantastic. Mighty enjoyable, very safe. We had the right guys building it and taking care of it, so it was fantastic.
Was that part of the
I remember.
Yes, so that was the Banff Mountain Film Festival. Yeah, that comes.
I remember Dr. Royce did it.
Oh, really?
Chiropractic first, yeah. And then when he came down, he couldn't touch the ground, so he had to hang there.
Like floating?
Yeah, and I kept pushing him like he was in a swing.
Yeah, so that was a pretty wild time. I believe that the permit
that was awesome,
for
though.
Street events changed drastically
right after that.
Right after that.
After
but
that.
we executed pretty well on that one.
But why? I can understand. I mean, I'm just speaking here kind of just out of turn, but why? It went off successfully. Nobody got hurt. So why?
And we insured every corner of the world.
Okay.
You know, we certainly covered our butts. I think it was just a situation where they didn't realize, this is not hubris. They didn't realize who they were dealing with.
Oh, okay.
And then they were like, this cannot happen. So they added some more steps to the process. And
you overcame them.
Yeah, I mean, we carried on. So I think that's the feather in my cap that, like, I enjoy telling is the zip line off the top of the Cascade. The one that folks can still see is certainly the Reading City flag. And it took, in all of those instances, I had incredible support from other people making those things happen. It was never me alone at all, and so I'm super lucky to have met other young professionals, most of them boomerangs back to the area, who came back and had the same mindset of, I'm going to do something here.
Okay. We got flashed.
Oh, yeah, we got.
That means we have to take a break.
We're going to take our first break, and we'll come back, and we'll get into the agriculture part of things.
Great.
See you in a bit.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back with Evening in California. This is Nigel and James.
Yep.
And we have Brandy Green with us.
Yep.
Hello.
Yep.
I would say you're one of the local disruptors.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I used to, I think, have in my, whatever, Instagram bio or something like guerrilla civics.
Mm.
I
can see that.
I don't, I think I said I want to affect change. I want to build things. I don't necessarily enjoy following the rules. Mm-hmm. There's rules, but I think if you can't tell me why, then I'm not necessarily going to jump on it.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So you're in good company.
Well,
yeah, that's pretty good.
Real quick, though, but just a little bit. So just give us a brief. What you have a day job.
Yes.
You also have
another day job.
Another day job. And another day job and kind of all kinds of things. So give us a little lowdown so people understand, like,
sure,
the level at which you are operating besides being the owner and operator, which we'll get into the history of Bernsini, but owner and operator, winemaker and stuff of Bernsini.
Sure.
So that's one thing.
Yeah. And that's days, nights, weekends. That's all the time. On top of that, I'm an environmental chemist. So I work for an engineering firm and they contract me out to whoever needs a chemist. And that has me covering from the Oregon border down to, like, Delavan Willows area in any given day. Mm-hmm. And that's 5 or 6 days a week I do that.
And I try calling her to ask questions about wine for the store and stuff, and she's completely off the grid. They need to give you a satellite phone.
I know.
But she drives her 4Runner, 4x, and is out literally, you know.
Just nowhere.
In the middle of nowhere. Yeah. Testing,
no roads.
Yeah, testing dirt and water and
stuff. One of the slogans for the California Venture District is, you know, roads are overrated.
I take that to heart. Yeah. There's a significant portion of my work that is not on a named road on a map anywhere. But, you know, that means that while I'm doing that work for someone else, I'm in our beautiful outdoors. I'm hiking around. I'm experiencing nature. So there's a significant amount of time where I'm working for someone else that I'm recharging my own batteries.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I could continue to do what I do at the level that I do it if that wasn't the truth. If all of a sudden that job switched to being in a cubicle, I could not.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't work.
So
there's that.
Yes. Then board member for Shasta Land Trust. I just finished, well, I guess I'm still the vice chair there, but I just finished my term as chair of the board. And the Shasta Land Trust is an incredible organization that conserves land in Shasta County so that we always have beautiful open space, so mm-hmm. that we always have productive agriculture, forests, watersheds, those types of things, so that there is nature here. The reasons that we live here continue to exist.
They can't be taken away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're there forever. So that's an organization that I, you know, means a lot to me personally, but that I've been involved with heavily for a few years now.
So what is that as far as their board goes? Can you reapply, or are you going to reapply? Are you going to take a different position? Are you taking a break?
She's smiling. She has that smile.
Yeah. So I'm still on the board. The vice chair, it's a 12-year term.
Oh.
So I think I've...
You've been in it for 12 years?
No, I am... no, so I was board chair for, I think, 3.
Uh-huh.
I have another, I think, 6 years on the board. And then...
Okay.
And then, even then, you could take a year off and go back on. So...
Okay.
But, you know, it's one of those things where...
that's unheard of.
Yeah. It's one of those things where having board members who are also in the conservation industry is... really important to the work that we do.
Yeah.
So we have an incredible board from planners to environmental scientists to conservationists. It's
yeah. And then you have the city.
Oh yeah. So I am the newest planning commissioner on the City of Redding's Planning Commission, making sure you know, when there are new developments or when there are issues, you know, say a homeowner or a business building owner has, that they have an avenue of getting those things addressed. And so, you know, we've only had a few meetings since I started in May, but it's been really interesting to see the process and understand how those things come to be and then, like, what goes before the office, before the staff at the mm-hmm. city level, what goes before the planning commission, and then what gets handed on to city council is you know, vast differences. So, yeah. A lot of learning right now.
So you do that between 2 and 5 a.m.?
That is second and fourth Tuesday from 4 p.m. to 5:30.
And hence, some of the reasons why she's been unable to attend the Shasta... Explore Shasta County Board.
That's why for us we're saying we'll have 3 meetings a year.
Okay, great. Those I could make.
And then you were also, which is finally kind of, that chapter is closed, but you were part of Catalyst?
Yeah, so Catalyst Running Young Professionals, we were the group that You rarely saw our name in anything, but we created Reading Beer Week. We held Banff Mountain Film Festival. We created TEDx Reading.
I loved TEDx Reading.
Yes, it was fantastic.
I love TEDx.
Reading City Flag, Radical Reels, which Enjoy mm-hmm. helped us do.
Yep.
That was a high point, having outdoor crazy action videos shown on a blown-up screen at the Sacramento River. There's fly fishers in the background casting. It was one of those, like, wonderful moments. This is why I moved home.
So you do a couple things.
Just a few.
You can do it.
Yeah.
No. That's what I wanted to get so people know, because the level that she performs is just unbelievable to me.
So on that first job, how many miles a week do you do?
I think last month it was a little over 5,000, but I wouldn't more than 1,000 a week, I guess. It depends.
Hello.
Okay, so then I...
And that you have to take into perspective. 5,000 is more, let's see, so 36. Just 60. Almost like driving across the entire country and back.
Yeah. It's a lot.
So I'm almost afraid to ask then. So when does the vineyard bit come in?
Thursday, Friday, and Saturday mornings at 7 a.m., my staff and I meet, and we work in the vineyard until they have other jobs. So everyone that I work with at the winery, we all have day jobs. And so there's a lot of communication that has to go on to make sure we can be there at times to help each other. Some things require more than one person. Some things we can do alone. And so, I have staff that was there pressure washing Monday and Tuesday, and I'll be there tomorrow setting up for an event we have this weekend. So everybody has their roles.
And that's another thing, right? Right. So Brandy and I on Friday we donated, both Enjoy and Bernsini donated a dinner in the vineyard, and it was auctioned off. And we'll be throwing a local produced menu.
Like a 100-mile menu.
100-mile menu, for dinner for...
See, I thought I was busy.
15 people in the vineyard.
I think the only thing that I know for sure we're getting that's outside 100 miles is I was able to source some Pacific Ocean sea salt.
Okay.
But, there's no local source of sea salt, so the salt will be from out of the area.
You could have asked me. I could have gotten it from...
Off your brow.
off my brow, right? I could have gotten it out of Humboldt.
So I think that's where it's coming from.
Is it from?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's still fairly local.
And I use Nigel as a mule, because he goes over there all the time.
To carry all your goodies
Yeah,
back.
I'm like, bring back my chocolate. Bring back my Humboldt hot sauce.
Good to know.
It may start off in the car over there, but it may not make it.
Yeah.
Sorry, that didn't make it back to Reading.
I always order an extra box because I know he's going to get into it.
So, Bernsini, is that your idea, your brainchild?
So it was founded by two families, the Burnhams and the Tomasinis, back maybe in the 80s.
Hence Bern.
Yeah.
I got it off, didn't I?
Smashed it right together.
So it's a made-up word.
It is an absolutely made-up word, which is why it stuck around.
Yeah.
I felt pretty confident that if you typed that word into Google, it would only find me. They planted grapes and started making wine for themselves and their friends and family, and eventually got to the size where the county said, hey, boys, figure it out. Go legit or knock it off. And they went legit in 2000. So there's a vineyard there on the property, 8 acres of red wine grapes that I manage sustainably using some regenerative practices that we are ever evolving and really doing the most we can with the space we can, and produce all of our wines there from grape to glass. So every bit of the winemaking process is done there. All the way through to the bottling line and the cellaring of our wines. And
I can prove it. You want to see my toes and toenails?
No, I'm good. So you hit on a key word there that we're hearing in Humboldt all the time, and that's regenerative, right?
Yeah.
Regenerative
process. Is that the new buzzword?
So what does that mean for you specifically in the process that you're using?
And I think that's a really good point, is that what does it mean to you? And I will tell you, no matter what, if you are not talking to your farmer, then you don't know what that word means.
Right.
So ooh, that's
a
fighting word.
Yeah. So for us, that means we are putting as much back into the soil as we possibly can, with the goal of putting as much into the soil as we take out. So all of our stents.
I'll give you
a healthy way.
I'll give you and this will be the end of our half hour.
Second
but
section there.
There was a little statement that I caught in Humboldt, which was pretty good. They said dairy farmers over there, and they said they're actually farming grass.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
And the cattle is secondary, but
that's totally true.
Absolutely. Right. Yeah. If I can't grow healthy grapevines, I can't grow healthy grapes. Okay. And it is very holistic. It has to be the initial effort.
Totally good. We're learning a lot here in a very short amount of time.
Crash course.
Yeah, we'll take
just
our second
break.
Just
wait till the next half.
we'll take a second break and we'll be right back. Thank you.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back at Evening in Northern California. This is Nigel and James. It's October 12th, 2022.
I got it. The first caller to call in and identify our theme music.
Oh, there you go.
That's who will win the two October.
Does that mean that you're going to tell me what the theme music is at some point?
That's why I didn't tell you.
Okay.
Excuse me, I'm eating nuts.
605-4567, call in if you recognize that
Our theme music,
song.
Our intro music, yes, and you will win.
605-4567.
And you will win two Oktoberfest beer and food and music tickets at Turtle Bay Exploration Park for Saturday, October 15th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. All ages. Do it.
It's really good. Okay, so we have with us Brandy Green, and we've just learned that she's a very, very, very busy person.
She's a modern woman that does everything.
Sure. And makes wine.
So I've kind of forgotten all the titles. What was the first one?
Environmental chemist.
For?
There we go.
For?
There we go. I hear the phone.
Yeah.
Is that somebody actually get it?
I don't know. We'll see. He'll send us a message.
Environmental
through the
chemist for a company.
For an engineering firm.
Uh-huh.
Winemaker owner for Bernsini Vineyards.
Yeah.
Shasta Land Trust.
Shasta Land Trust.
Board member for the Shasta Land Trust and planning commissioner for City of Reading Planning Department.
Planning commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So any other aspirations before?
I'm single. I'm looking for a good man. I'm just going to plug that. I don't know what your readership is here, but
you may want to cut down on like 2 or 3 of those.
I don't know about that. He's going to have to keep up.
That's fine. Okay.
You're not a sugar. You're not going to be a sugar mama.
No, that's not a possibility.
So we talked about the whole regenerative farming.
Sure.
One of the things that I've been harping on, and James is catching up on, is that we're in a period of time where you better get to know your farmer.
Absolutely.
Based on what's coming.
Yeah.
I have a feeling.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feel about that. But
well,
like
it depends if the end of the world comes. We know where to go to just get a little buzzed and have a good time till the end comes.
I feel like I am the best team member you could have for the zombie apocalypse because I can make booze. And I feel like if water treatment becomes an issue, if food access becomes an issue, like I'm producing booze, I'm going to make it. I'm going to be...
I know.
I don't know, like, what sort of water world contraption it's going to put me on, but I'm going to get one.
It's funny you say that, right? Because even this morning I was reading a little report that said, well, look, if there is a nuclear blast, just the closer you are to the epicenter, the better, because it'll be quick.
Mm. There you go. Right. That's one way to look at it.
That's one way to look at it. I'm like, what a time to live in.
Like in a baseball game when you're in outfield, you just look up and try to run underneath it as it's coming down.
So here locally, how are you feeling about do you think there's an upcoming supply chain issue?
I mean, there is a supply chain issue right now.
Yeah.
As a business owner, just as a human that exists, yeah, supply chain is a big deal. How it's going to affect how most of us receive our food, I think, is going to be shocking for folks. We probably experienced quite a bit of that, you know, during the initial, like, lockdown stuff of COVID. And people, at least I saw within my own business, and I saw within my friends and the people that I'm around, you know, people joining CSAs, and they're still members there because they liked what they were getting. The prices weren't necessarily worse.
What's a CSA?
Community-supported agriculture.
Yeah. Which, just as an FYI, Healthy Shasta and Little Sprouts Farms has just kind of confirmed with me that we are going to become a CSA for both of their farm boxes.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. And they do a great job.
At Enjoy.
And it's a way where you're making a financial commitment to a farm, and they're making a food commitment to you. So
basically, it's a
membership.
It's a membership or a subscription where you're getting a box filled with monthly.
So are you of the mindset, too, that at some point here soon, like, our food supply is going to change in the supermarket? Or do you think because we're on I-5 and that?
Yeah, we probably, I mean, and just being in California, we might have some greater access than other places will. And we have just a more temperate wintertime climate.
If you don't, I'll ship it to China.
Right. but I think the amount of choice that we expect at the grocery store is changing pretty rapidly. And I think people are wanting to know where their food comes from, who's producing it, how they're growing it, and what impact it has on the environment where it's being grown. And you can't do that if you buy it off a shelf. It's just not possible.
It's absolutely mind-boggling. I go to the grocery store, and because I'm diabetic, I flip things over to just read them as far as what's in it for me, right?
Sure.
Sugar, carbs, that kind of stuff. But because I'm scanning it, I'm always looking. And it's mind-blowing how much of our food is coming from other places of the world. A huge portion of it.
Sure.
I mean, you just don't think about it. But, like, I'll pick up oranges, and it'll say, you know, this product of Chile, and
yeah,
every canned item on the shelf is made in China, in a cannery in China. It blows my mind that probably product was grown somewhere, shipped to China, processed and canned, shipped back to America, whatever it may be, right?
Right.
And you're just like,
holy
cow.
Certainly, certainly home canning, and not even just canning for your own home, but like farm-based canning used to be such a thing on the West Coast. They had these mobile retorts. This is the food scientist part of my winemaking degree. They had these mobile retorts that they would put on a wagon and haul with, like, mules or oxen around to these different hubs in Oregon. And
you would bring all your produce and stuff,
you know,
for canning.
Absolutely. Way more green beans than a family's going to eat. But you would can all your green beans, and you would trade them or sell them for somebody else's something.
Peaches.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, we're seeing more and more of that type of thing going on. We're seeing a lot more, you know, what do they call it? Like hobby kitchen type producers, mm-hmm. Which is great because, again, if you don't know your farmer, if you don't know your producer, then you don't know what your food product is. There's no way around that. If you're not speaking to the person that's producing that item.
Cottage kitchen.
Cottage kitchen. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I know my egg farmer. Does mm-hmm. that count?
Yeah, well, and that's...
I'm right here.
So James and I have this idea. It's TBD, but part of the regenerative plan for Bernsini is we have to introduce other, you know, we can't be a monoculture because that's just not as good for the environment. And so putting together a chicken tractor mm-hmm. that we can haul down the vineyard rows, the eggs will go to James and he will sell them or... I don't know, eat them all. And obviously the leavings of these birds will stay in the ground, in the soil, Bernsini, and be a natural fertilizer.
And the birds will be busy pecking at the ground and cleaning up,
sure.
you know, debris and seeds and bugs. And
yeah, yeah, yeah.
So are you of the mindset that people need to wake up right now, or do you think we're good? Or if
I don't think everybody has the capacity to wake up. I think I think anybody who can should. I personally don't think that there are people who want to be blind to access realities, and you know, they can't be on my zombie team, so
I was gonna say, yeah. It's called survival of the fittest.
I just think some people, they believe food comes from a grocery store.
Yes.
They're not willing to see that it doesn't. They don't want to see that it doesn't come from a grocery store, that it doesn't come wrapped and finished. You know, that's not the truth of how our food is produced, and not everybody wants to be aware of those things.
That's right. I have a this is a little detour.
So you great.
I just wanted to say real quick,
Yes, go ahead.
So somebody did call in and identify the music and won the two tickets. So we'll
it was the Bee Gees.
And the person looks like a Steve Bates, I think is the name. And so I have his phone number, and we'll be giving you a call again tomorrow to let you know where you can pick them
It wasn't
up.
The Bee Gees. It was Van Halen.
So there you go.
I had Brandy fooled.
You know what? I was thinking that maybe it was music from the Homeless Rockstar. I thought maybe it was the anthem from Homeless Rockstar.
It wasn't. I need to find that one again, Rockstar.
Because that was great.
Yeah.
That's the only reason I could think that maybe, because, I mean, I'm just not good at, I like music, I'm just not good at naming it.
We'll give you a pass.
This time.
All right, sorry, you were going
Let's
somewhere.
Detour.
but it falls into, I'm going to assume it's part of your expertise, because what we're doing with Shasta County. Why has Shasta County not been engaged in tourism, but the city of Redding has? And is there a clear answer for that, or is there not? Because every time I've asked, let's say, a supervisor or whatever, they just get this blank stare like, we don't know.
I mean, I know they can't hear me doing this motion, but right. Money,
costs
I would
too
say.
Much.
And maybe it's funneled in a particular way. I also think that there has been this longstanding, and this, no one who lives here doesn't know this. This is so true, but there is this longstanding commentary where, come to Redding, we have Whiskey Town Lake, we have Burney Falls, we have Shasta Lake. None of those things are within City of Redding, but there are fantastic things within the City of Redding. I've had, like, mind-blowing, got off work at 5 p.m. at a corporate environmental office, put on a bathing suit, and paddled down the Sacramento River through downtown Redding within 20 minutes. Get your bikini out.
Well, you're European, so it's okay.
But, I mean, there are unreal things that can happen here in Redding, but those things that we market, those things aren't in Redding. Okay. Those things are, you know, some of them are quite a drive. Mount Lassen is not in Redding. It's accessible via Redding. And I think, you know, these smaller communities, they're being done a disservice by not being part of the conversation. You know, Burney, it's a tough area up there. It's also a really cool area. I spend a ridiculous amount of time in Burney, more than probably anybody who doesn't live there. And because that's just where my work takes me. I'm on, you know, all over Lake Britton all the time, and it's incredible up there. But that's not Redding. It doesn't have the same community. It's not the same vibe.
So it's been a while since I've been to Burney, but there's that Four Corners there.
Sure.
Right? And my little brain goes, every time I'm there, Four Corners, I always think if somebody was to put
a
restaurant, hotel, and a shuttle
even if there was a mini mark. Honestly.
Okay, well, we can start with a mini mark.
Because I don't know, you know, again, not a lot of people are out in this area, but once you leave Johnson Park, which is what's right after Burney, they kind of run into each other, there's nothing until Fall River. Then you have Fall River and MacArthur, and those are very small towns and very few access points, especially if it's not during normal work hours. And if you're not carrying cash, then there's even less places. And then there's nothing all the way to New Bieber. And then, like, if you're
turning...
That's in Idaho? Nearly.
New Bieber? Is there an old Bieber?
There's a Bieber and a New Bieber.
Oh. Uh-huh. I knew there was Bieber, but I'd never heard of New Bieber.
Yeah, they're right by each other on the other side of the bridge. You know, and then you turn and take the look off cutout. You know, it's all the way to Canby. It's all the way to Tiennesta. That's like another hour.
She's speaking another language.
Yeah. I mean, it's just far eastern California.
Well, at least now I know why you have a Toyota.
Right. But it's far eastern.
And these are
California.
All in Shasta County? Or they now have you transferred into another county?
When you get to Bieber, New Bieber, now you're in, I think you go within like just a couple hundred feet, you can be like Shasta, Lassen, Modoc.
Mm.
Like there's a sign that's like, welcome to Lassen County. And then there's another sign right after it that's like, Modoc County, 350 feet, or something like that. And it always makes me giggle. But, yeah, I mean, it's far eastern California, you know, probably they come to Reading for many services.
For sure.
Reading is a hub for those things, but...
There's no doubt that, well, even for California Adventure District, which is the whole region...
Sure,
right?
Sure.
Reading is the hub.
Is absolutely a hub.
Absolutely a hub. But it's kind
but
of
it's not the only story. No. It's not the only story.
There's lots of stories, right? that was quick. Okay, fine. We'll take our last break. Yeah, we'll take our last break and we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Yeah, Jam, the Bee Gees.
Thank you for the correction. Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you.
Nigel?
Yes?
You're more than a woman.
Yes, I am.
And it looks good on you.
Yeah. Well, okay. welcome back.
We had to reset.
Yeah, I had to rewire that one. Nigel and James, and we have Brandy Green with us.
Hello.
Hello. So we're finally getting down to the details of Shasta County.
Yeah.
I would say the differentiation between Shasta County and Reading.
Yeah.
Because to me it was always, well, it's been a little surprising that Reading, from a marketing standpoint, carries Shasta County.
Sure.
When it should be the other way around.
I mean, there's a lot going on outside
I'm
of
sure
Reading.
I'm sure some people are cringing right now who are hearing this. Maybe upsetting some people. But it should be the other way around.
Sure. I think there's – Reading is a great thing to market. There's plenty to market here. But the things you're missing out on by not marketing Shasta County, there is a ton of fantastically, healthily grown beef coming out of this area that very few people know about.
We should keep it that way for now.
But, you know, I mean –
Where's the beef?
There's benefits and drawbacks to not having that be well known. Part of it is that people who live here don't have access to some of that meat.
But so, isn't that seem to be that to me is like one of the crimes of the century is that you can be somewhere where it's something is grown that's cherished or the best, right? And the people that live there are some of the only people that never get access to
sure.
it. Sure. Because it gets shipped somewhere else.
Sure.
Where they're paying $100 a pound for it, right?
Sure.
And that's the
thing.
And
now you've become an environmental justice warrior. Sorry, James. Sorry to break it to you.
Oh, gosh, no.
No, but that's no, it is. It is absolutely. I mean, it's the same for certain seafoods. It's the same for any, you know, high value items. Sometimes the people who are doing the raising are the you know, maybe not the exact family who's yeah. doing the raising, but the folks who are working on the farm with them are some of the people who can't afford or can't access the
That's
product.
True. Yeah, unfortunately, for sure.
You know, and we are really lucky that some of the farms, the local farms that are producing not just beef, but turkeys and pork and all kinds of fantastic things.
Everything.
Yeah. Even duck, like mm-hmm. really fantastic meat products being produced here locally. Some of them are readily available here locally, but you would need to know where they are and what they're called.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are things that aren't happening in Reading. They're happening on the outskirts. They're happening well all the way to Bieber.
Yeah.
And so
Scott Valley area.
Nobody's
Justin time.
Uh-huh.
Justin Bieber. Sorry.
Nice.
Sorry. So that brings up the dirty word that I mentioned before the show. How would you feel? Because other people have been asking me, how come there's no county chamber?
Should
there be one? Is there one? Is there a?
And so my question was, are there other county chambers?
Yes.
I don't know if I know enough. I am a chamber member, but I don't know if I know enough about chambers to understand much.
Yeah, true.
But what I had pointed out then, you know, at the beginning was we have these tiny little towns with these tiny little chambers that struggle to stay afloat, that struggle to accomplish much, and struggle to be a real influence for the businesses in those communities. And, you know, the easiest one for me to point out, of course, is Cottonwood. My business is technically in the town of Cottonwood, although we're on the Tehama County side, so we do this weird straddle thing.
Mm.
But I'm a member of that chamber. I'm a member of the Reading Chamber. It's hard for a very small chamber in a very small town to have much influence that really that the business owners feel.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so I wonder, you know, would Shasta County be served by having a chamber that maybe having all of, because I have to assume all of these tiny little towns have these other chambers that are struggling to be influential. Mm-hmm. And
well,
that's,
we
I assume that's what they
lot.
Want.
I mean, we see them a lot right. when you travel in the California Adventure District, because there's so many small communities
sure.
throughout those top 12 counties, right?
Sure. And you pull into town, there's a sign on the road, mm-hmm. and then there's an
well,
empty
and
parking
even
lot.
Just as an assist you, there was the person that you just worked
North
with.
North Chamber,
yeah.
South Chamber.
Really?
Yeah.
They have a Siskiyou North Chamber
okay.
and a South Chamber, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay.
Because and I don't know the real reason, but the South Chamber focuses more on where a population density is versus the North, where it's kind of
and
not.
Siskiyou's kind of large.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're like, well, you're not representing us, so we're going to create our own chamber, too, where it's like, oh, gosh, that's just everybody's doing the same thing in their own little silos
yeah.
again.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of administrative money, I assume. And then
just, yeah.
you lose that in production.
And I can see
production.
The flip side of it. If everything got absorbed at the county level, is it going to be?
Is
know,
there individuality?
Yes, that and you know, truly, you're going to have to put you know, best practices in that then is very inclusive to all these other
sure.
counties and how that gets represented,
yeah.
right?
Because yeah.
you could very easily just get lost.
I think it's not a one. One
size
answer.
Fits all.
I think
well,
you posted
it. It's worth a conversation.
Sure.
I would say.
Yeah, and I think the problems that small town chambers are facing might be better served in that scenario, in a countywide chamber scenario. But yeah, then obviously there's real potential drawbacks or questions.
So I have this idea for you. I'll give it to you for free.
Oh, thank you. Just in my price.
A Cottonwood flag.
With a cow on it?
No, well, I mean, you had the whole campaign for the city of Reading flag.
Oh, okay.
Maybe start a Cottonwood flag? No?
I mean,
No, okay.
Yeah.
It was just an idea.
I don't know much about, honestly, I don't know a ton about Cottonwood. I know about the rodeo and, you know, I marched in the parades when I was a kid. And
well, it is true. I mean, you know, I think every day, obviously, there's thousands of us going up and down I-5.
Sure.
And then that moment you enter into Shasta County is like.
Does Shasta County have a flag?
I don't believe so.
So there, we just have a city flag.
There you go. There's something else. There's another idea
yeah.
for you right there. but, you know, so we see Cottonwood right there. It's the
sure.
First thing. And even in my little pea brain, it's like, okay, there's something here that we're missing.
Well, and it has something such a, it, you know, unlike, sadly,
yeah,
unlike Reading.
Do you know we're neighbors here and in Cottonwood?
We are,
You
yeah.
and I live in the garden tract, just and then we...
Yeah, just down the road from each other.
Down the road in Cottonwood, too.
Leave me alone, James.
Sorry.
Yeah. I think you're right, though, Nigel. And Cottonwood has such a distinct vibe. You know, there's that little old west town in downtown, and it's
so
very
cool.
Ag-based. Mm-hmm. I think there could be,
And that downtown street is so wide.
So wide.
And so raised, right?
Yeah.
And I think all that was because they actually used to drive cattle through. Is from
I
what
assume,
I told.
Yeah.
So you needed huge wide streets with like basically natural barriers so that the cattle didn't come through.
Sure, to get them
store.
To the auction yard.
Which isn't there anymore, right? Didn't they shut it down?
Well, they're not operating, but there's still a restaurant. Kenny's Kitchen is still operating out of there, and the auction yard is for sale, and the Western Video Market is still there, which is
shut down?
They weren't making money. And I think, too, it was a multi-generational family, and they just – it wasn't working anymore, and it hadn't been working for a while, and they just carried it.
I don't know how any of that works, so I wouldn't even know to begin how you would
make
your money.
Sure,
right?
Yeah.
You just think every cow that ran through, you'd get a piece of it.
Anyway, so
– a piece of the hide.
we're approaching the end here. So one of the questions we'd like to ask our guests, because we do have a lot of newbies in Reading or within earshot, right? James has a lot of people who just moved into the area.
Especially because of the pandemic, we get to see him a lot.
They
come from Sacramento, San Francisco.
Right.
They're getting out of the cities, want somewhere.
So we have to ask, somebody who's part of the furniture here. Somebody want
to? It's one way to say it. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Your favorite places to eat?
Will does. For sure.
Yeah.
It's gone now, but Madur. If you ever went there, it was epic. And my whole staff, I would bring them Madur burritos. Please come back. It's Filipino food. It's fantastic.
That's sad.
Oh,
just the word sounds yummy.
It's so good. I don't know,
do you
but
wrap it in something?
It's in a tortilla. Oh, it's so good. Yum. I don't know, but I think there's a new food truck, and I think they might
kind of have
something. Access.
Yeah. I just read about that today.
Okay. Those are, I went to a great little college town, and so I like those college vibe restaurants. Certainly Mosaic and then Norms out in Palisadro. Those are the places that I'm going and the places that I'm sending folks. When I'm talking to them at the winery, that's where I'm sending them.
And we're both working very hard to get her wines at Mosaic.
Yes.
Just
us,
in case, listen,
now.
Hello, going through the airwaves.
But yeah, so that's where I'm eating and where I'm sending folks when they're looking for something nice.
Having a winery, so you have clientele from all over the place?
Yeah.
So do they actually call and ask where to go? Where do you think they should go?
Well, so we have a Airbnb at the winery. So, I mean, often we have people that are actually staying there with us, and we have lots of conversations with them. And
we send
them
to the Jolly Cone to get fried pickles from Cottonwood.
But so, yeah, I'm sending them to Moonstone for brunch. I'm sending them to Mosaic. I'm sending them to Norms, which is a lot of locally accessed foods. They have a seasonal menu, and that's what they're accessing is local foods. And so it totally meets what I've been harping to them about while they've been at the winery.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you have some people at the Airbnb now and they say, where should we go? Let's end with this, because we have, the Wheel of Fortune is coming to the Reading Civic.
I know that sounds so funny, and but I really want to go.
That's always.
I didn't realize that travel.
I like game shows. Yes, it's like real. It's like a real thing. Like you spin the wheel kind of thing. Yeah.
Vanna's a little over the hill, so she's a little slower in actually turning the letters.
I guess they pull you from the audience. You can go up and play and spin the wheel. It's like a road version.
Unreal.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune coming to the Civic.
I know we're both all baffled, but I'm like, that kind of sounds
November
like fun.
18th. But if that's not your speed, then you probably already know about this one at Wind River on November 4th is the NorCal Talc.
Tattoos.
Tattoo Expo.
And it's actually a really very good show.
I'm into tattoos.
Paul David puts it on and Brenna. And I've been to the last like three, and they have some talents. They have tattoo artists coming from all over the world.
Do you have a tattoo?
I do not, but my son has tons of them. And the last year I was there, that's what he wanted for his birthday present was a tattoo, and his birthday's on the December. So, it was a little early, but he got his knee done. Yeah.
Do you have tattoos?
I do. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Well, we'll end with that then.
Let's just leave that. We'll put it as a stamp. It rhymes with stamp.
Well, Brandy, thank you.
Thanks for having me. It's been fun.
I know that you have a busy agenda, but I'm glad you're part of our Shasta County tourism crew.
Yeah.
Because we plan on elevating Shasta County.
Absolutely.
So I think it's a good thing.
From its dirt to its highest peak.
There you go.
Got to get a dirt kid in on that.
I know.
There you go. Thank you very much, Northern California. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
KCNR.